Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we do pray that you would keep the spirit of Christmas alive in our hearts, that you would help us to see that your promise of sending a Savior has been fulfilled, that in Jesus, in the baby born in Bethlehem, the one laid in a manger, we find the fulfillment of all the promises of the Old Testament, that you would send your Son to be our Savior. Again, Father, help us to keep that message, that hope, that promise fulfilled, alive in our lives and the lives of those around us. If we do pray that the words of my mouth, together with the meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago at the Ladies Auxiliary Christmas dinner, everyone was asked to share their most memorable Christmas. And it was noisy there in the restaurant, so I didn't hear everyone really well, but of all those I heard, the memory either was one from their own childhood or from the childhood of their children, except for my wife. Her memory is from 2 years ago when Leavenworth was buried in snow on Christmas Day. We couldn't get out. The good news was her children were home and we couldn't go anywhere. Now, as a result of that informal poll, there is no doubt in my mind that Christmas is for children. It's for kids. Ever watch parents at their baby's first Christmas? The baby is less than 1 year old. She doesn't have a single clue as to what's going on and really couldn't care less. But the parents, they go all out. Dad dresses up like Santa. Mom has wrapped up every one of the baby's gifts and then helps baby unwrap every one of those gifts. And why? It's because being around a child at Christmas makes us all a little more like children. And that's not bad. In fact, it's very, very good. The reason it is good is because Jesus said that it is only by becoming like children that we can enter the kingdom of God. It is only by becoming like children we can enter the true spirit of Christmas. Charles Dickens said it well when he wrote, "It is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself." Indeed, it is good to be children sometimes, even as God himself once was a child. One of the most amazing statements of all Scripture is today's reading from Isaiah chapter 9. It's the promise of a Messiah delivered by the prophet Isaiah over 700 years before Christ was born. In that prophecy, Isaiah foretold that God, the eternal and infinite creator of the galaxies, would become a little child. He writes this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." Wonderful Counselor. A king whose wisdom is so incomprehensible that he has no need for advisors or counselors. Mighty God, a strong hero who is in fact God. Everlasting Father, he will forever care for his people like a loving father. Prince of Peace, He is the royal Son of God, whose kingdom is established in perpetual peace. All this is revealed in a promised baby, born to a virgin mother in a stable out behind the inn in Bethlehem. God became a child, a human child, a helpless child. He is Emmanuel, God with us. George MacDonald said it like this: they all were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. Of all the ways that God could have come to earth, he chose to come as a baby. God could have come, as he did upon Sodom and Gomorrah, with fire and force. He could have come down like he did at Mount Sinai with awesome displays of smoke and thunder, making the earth move under our feet. God could have emblazoned the sky with his brilliant appearance, accompanied by myriads of angels for every eye to see. Instead, he chose to come among us to be our Emmanuel by becoming a tiny baby. July 1969, Neil Armstrong is the first man to walk on the moon. When the crew of Apollo 11 returned to Earth, President Richard Nixon announced, "This is the greatest week since the beginning of the world, the creation. Nothing has changed the world more than this mission." Well, shortly thereafter, the evangelist Billy Graham sent a message of correction to the president. Graham asserted that a far greater day was the first Christmas. He says, "When the creator of the universe came to dwell among men on this planet in the person of Jesus Christ." Indeed, the greatest event is not that man left earth to visit the heavens, but that God left the heavens to live on the earth. And nothing has changed history more than that mission, God's arrival on earth as a little child. Why did God set out on that mission? Why did God come to the earth? The answer is evident in the simple words of Isaiah: to us a child is born, to us a son is given. God laid aside his glory and became an infant to come to us and to be for us. He chose to become like us in order to say to us both by his words and by his life, "I give myself to you. I give myself for you." The story is told of a little 7-year-old boy named Richard. It was the day before Christmas, and his mother was busy wrapping gifts. She asked Richard to shine her shoes for the Christmas service. And it wasn't long before the young boy presented the shoes to his mother for inspection. And delighted, she paid him a quarter. Well, next morning, she began to put her shoes on in preparation for church. But as she did, she discovered a lump in the toe of one of the shoes. The lump turned out to be a piece of paper wadded up, and inside of it, a quarter. And scrawled on that paper in a child's handwriting were 5 words: "I done it for love." And as we look at the manger, we see a note all wadded up. We see a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. It's a note from God, which says, in effect, "I done it for love." You see, God's mission to the earth was not to destroy the world. His mission was to restore it. Jesus himself would declare, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned." God became a human baby in order to save human beings. The angel told Joseph at the very beginning, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The very name of Jesus means the Lord saves. That's why Jesus became a child, to save us from our sins. He grew up to be a man, and as a man, he lived a perfect life. You would have thought that would have gotten him far, but where it got him was onto a cross. This was because a dark and fallen world couldn't stand the light of truth which he brought. And yet that is why he came, to be nailed to an execution post, from a wooden manger to a wooden cross. That was his mission. A mission promised and a mission fulfilled. You just sang it. Nails, spears shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. The prophet Isaiah declares, "For to us a child is born, to us and for us the Son of God became a human child. This was all so that we too might become children, the children of God." Only as children, only as God's children can we enter into the kingdom of heaven. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." And John the Apostle articulated it even more eloquently. He says, "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." I quoted Charles Dickens earlier. And in closing, I think his words bear repeating. It is good to be children sometimes, and never better than at Christmas, when its mighty founder was a child himself. God is calling you to become like children and to welcome with childlike faith him who came as a child. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen. We continue this morning with the confession of our sins. You'll find those words projected for you on the screen. Would you please stand?